Once again, it's time for the Pastor's Study. This is Brother Gino. Thank you once again for joining me today. Our study today is entitled The Rent Veil. The Rent Veil. But before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to teach and preach your word. Father, we pray as your word goes out, as you promised, that it would not return void. We pray that you would bless the listener. I pray that you would give the listeners teachable spirits and teachable hearts. Father, we pray that you would take your precious words, dear Lord, and minister to each one today in an individual way. And Father, if anything's accomplished, it will be because of you and not me. And we'll remember to give you all the honor and glory for what you'll choose to do this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, let's begin in Matthew chapter 27. Begin reading in verse 50 down to verse 56. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Now, look at verse 51 of our passage here in Matthew 27. It says, And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. We see as a result of the crucifixion of Christ, a number of things took place. In our passage, we are told that the earth did quake. I believe that not only the earth at Calvary and the surrounding area quaked, but the entire planet Earth quaked that day. We are told that the rocks rent. What tremendous amount of energy was released from heaven that day? The rocks themselves were torn apart. We are told that the saved dead were brought to life again as the graves were opened and the saints that slept arose. We are told that after the resurrection of Christ, they came out of the graves and went and appeared to many that day in Jerusalem. I am sure that there were many that day that dropped dead of a heart attack after seeing someone they knew was dead come alive. However, that is the effect that Christ has on someone who has come to him for the forgiveness of their sins. The Bible tells us those who were dead in trespasses and sins are quickened or made alive by the Spirit of God. Our focus today is going to be on the particular event that took place here in verse 51. As we read, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. We need to ask the question, why did God want us to know this? What is the importance of the fact that the veil of the temple was rent in twain at the exact moment that Christ gave, he yielded up the ghost, or the exact moment when his physical life on this earth ended? To understand the importance of this event, we need to know a little bit about the Holy of Holies and the veil in the temple that the high priest would enter through on the Day of Atonement to get to the Holy of Holies. We have to also keep in mind that the period of time Christ was on this earth that God was dealing with man under the Old Testament law. You see, the New Testament had not begun yet because Christ was still alive and had not yet been crucified. The Word of God reminds us in Hebrews chapter 9, in verses 16 through 17, "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." So, the New Testament, my friend, did not begin until Christ died and shed his precious blood. So what this meant was man had to go through another man, a Levitical priest chosen from the tribe of Levi, to deal with his sin problem. Let's look at the Holy of Holies. The veil in the temple divided the Holies of Holies from the holy place. The Holies of Holies represented God's special dwelling place on earth in the midst of his people. The Holies of Holies contained the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark were the two tables of the law given to Moses by God, a golden pot of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. Above the Ark was the mercy seat, which had two cherubim. The Day of Atonement. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest entered through the veil into the Holies of Holies with the blood of the sin offering. He made an atonement for the sins of the nation of Israel. He sprinkled the blood before and upon the mercy seat eastward seven times. When the blood of the sin offering was sprinkled upon the mercy seat, God saw the blood upon his law, which was beneath the mercy seat within the ark. When God saw the blood, then he entered the Holy of Holies and appeared above the mercy seat from between the two cherubim, which were upon the ark of the testimony in the form of his Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory appeared behind the cloud of incense. What was the problem with this system? Well, only the high priest had access to the presence of God. The high priest had to do the same thing each year. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews for a moment, chapter 9, verses 3 and 7. "And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all," verse 7, "but into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people." You see, the blood placed on the mercy seat by the high priest did not take away sin. Hebrews chapter 10 with me, verses 3 and 4. "But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin." Verse 11. "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. Amen? So we see that the blood of the bull and the goats did not take away sin. Now, let's look at the importance, the significance of the rent veil there on the day, the rent veil in the temple on the day, the moment that Christ gave up the ghost, his physical life ended. Well, as a result of the rent veil, what happened was it ended the early priesthood or the earthly priesthood. The result of the rent veil ended the earthly priesthood. In other words, we no longer need a high priest to represent us before God. We no longer need a high priest to make an atonement for our soul. And why is this? Because the Holy Bible tells us that Jesus offered one sacrifice for sins forever in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 12. We read in Hebrews 9:27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The Bible tells us that Christ entered the holies of holies, not on this earth, but in the third heaven, in the presence of God for us. Look again in chapter 9 of Hebrews with me. Chapter 9 of Hebrews, verses 23 to 25. Hebrews 9, 23 to 25. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true. See, the tabernacle on this earth that was set up was a figure of the one in heaven, or a picture of the tabernacle in heaven. But in heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth in the holy place every year with the blood of others. Amen. The earthly priest, high priest, had to do this every year. Christ went into the Holy of Holies in the third heaven. Amen. Once. And that's all. He didn't have to return. He did it once. Once and for all. Amen. One sacrifice to take away sins. As a result of what Christ did, we may now come into the presence of God. And how? How can we do that? Through the blood of Christ. Amen? We read in the Word of God, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. My friends, despite what society says, amen, or other religions teach, Jesus is our only way into the presence of God. When Jesus died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary, the veil was rent from top to bottom. It was torn in two pieces. And you see, that veil was rent by God and not by man. The veil was too high for man to reach it. The veil was too thick. It was 4 inches thick for man to tear it. In fact, it required 60 men to handle it. God rent the veil in the midst, in the temple. And as a result, you and I, we now have direct access to God through Christ. Amen. You see, my dear friends, listening today, there is no longer a wall separating us from God. We read in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 14, "For he," the "he" is referring to Jesus Christ, "is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." You see, the veil rent completely speaks of the completeness of Christ's sacrifice. Jesus upon Calvary's cross said in John chapter 19, verse 30, he said, "It is finished." You see, the veil was rent to bring us to God. Look with me in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. We read this: "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." Now, why did Christ suffer for sins? Why did he who was just suffer for the unjust? Here's the reason: that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Amen. We saw that the veil was rent. Christ suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. In fact, we see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus fulfilled the whole law. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Amen. You see, Jesus did what the law could not do. Look with me in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 2 and 3, Romans 8, 2 and 3. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Jesus did what the law could not do. Amen. The law brought condemnation to man. Christ brought redemption. Amen. Set us free. We see that Jesus is our one and only great high priest. You and I, thank God, we have him to represent us before God the Father. Listen to the words found in Hebrews chapter 7 and verses 25 and 26. Wherefore he, again referring to Jesus Christ, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Such a high priest, amen, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, for you and I. And listen to the blessing here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. God makes it so simple, does he not? One God, one mediator, not different mediators, amen, but one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. See? He's our mediator. Jesus Christ is our mediator. He's our high priest. Amen. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for you and I. So to have access to the Father, we have to go through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not Mary. Amen. Not one of the dead saints. Amen. Not any other way, but through Jesus Christ. My friend, the good news is this. The veil has been rent. You and I no longer have to go through another man to have access to God. You and I can go directly into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember we read that he went up to the third heaven, into the Holy of Holies in the third heaven, and sprinkled his blood upon the mercy seat there. And now you and I can come into the presence of God through the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we read, looking in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20, one of my favorite verses, Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, here it is, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ purchased the church. Amen. God purchased the church with his own blood. My friend, if you've never come to God for the forgiveness of your sins, won't you come today? The veil has been rent. A way has been made open to you individually because of the work Christ did, past tense, on the cruel cross of Calvary. See? There's nothing you and I can do in of ourselves to please God, to be right with God. Amen. The only thing we can do is receive His Son by faith into our heart. See? Because what Christ did at Calvary pleased the Father. We're told Christ was the propitiation or the payment for my sins and your sins. Won't you today, my friend, come and bow humbly in the presence of God and ask Him to save you from going to a sinner's hell? How can you prevent that? By believing in your heart, first of all, that Christ died. He died for your sins, for your personal sins, was buried and rose again the third day to pay for your sins. Amen. And to keep you from going to hell. Amen. The Bible says very clearly in Romans chapter 10, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, and verse 13. You want to be saved today? You want to know when you die that you're going to heaven, that your sins have been forgiven? Well, here it is. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you've received Christ into your heart, amen, as the scripture says, your mouth speaks what's in your heart. You're going to confess Christ, amen. You're not going to be a closet Christian. You're going to confess Him before men. You're going to tell others of your conversion, amen. See? It's not being a good moral person, turning over a new leaf, making a resolution. No, my friend, it's a lot more than that. To be right with God, you have to accept His way, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to know that you're right with God the Father, your sins have been forgiven, then you need to come through the blood of Jesus. There's no other way. Oh, I know it may not be politically correct, and I don't care. The Bible is not politically correct. Amen. That's why they've thrown it out of the public school. That's why they've thrown prayer out of the public school. Amen. Heaven help our country. Amen. The young people coming up today, many know nothing about God. Nothing, none of them care about God. Amen. As we conclude today, I ask you, if you've never called upon the name of the Lord and asked Him to save you, won't you do that today? and know that your sins are forgiven, and then when you die, you'd go to heaven. I'll be praying for you. Would you write me, Brother Gino, and let me know that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Amen. That you've cried out to God and asked Him to forgive you of your sins and trusted Christ as a payment for your sins. What a blessing. What a blessing. I'll rejoice with the angels in heavens that you got saved. We've run out of time once again. This is Brother Gino, thanking each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study. Till we meet again on the Pastor's Study, my prayer is God would richly bless you, and good day.